Okay. Okay. Yesterday we started the sugya, but we didn't really start where the sugya began. The sugya of the Hashabei Masim Shal Tzadikim has a few prongs to it, and we just saw one mahalich and tosos, but really what's more appropriate is to take a step back and see where is the first time this comes up. What a strange phrase. Hashabei Masim Shal Tzadikim, Yerik Rosh Baruch Hu, maybe takala yadam tzadikim atzim lo kol shkeim. Now Hashem won't allow a takala through the behema of a tzadik, so for sure the tzadik himself. What behema of the tzaddik? What's he talking about? What's the story? Where does it just say? Rosh Baruch Hu does it in Mevi Takala al Yedei Tzaddik. So the source of the whole Gemara is a story in Maseches Chul. This concept that comes up in all these different places in Shas is really a Gemara Maseches Chul. And the Gemara tells a story that Pinchas ben Yair was going to go to do the mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim, and he got to a point where there was a river flowing and he couldn't go through the river, he couldn't cross the river, so he did what most of us would do. He started talking to the river and he said, "Do me a favor, river, can you split please so that I can make my way through?" And the river, of course, responded and said, "Listen, I'm doing my mitzvah. Hashem told me I'm supposed to flow, because that's what rivers do. So I'm doing my mitzvah. You're going to try to do your mitzvah of Pidyon Shvuyim. The only thing I know is that the track record of human beings in actually doing the mitzvahs that they're supposed to do is much worse than the track record of rivers actually doing our mitzvahs that we're supposed to do. So I know that I'm going to be mekayim the mitzvah. You suffolk whether you're actually going to be mekayim the mitzvah. I win. I'm going to continue to flow. You can go somewhere else." Rav Pinchas ben Yair says, doesn't take no for an answer, and he says, "Im iyata chalik, gozarni alecha shal yavur b'chamayim liyolam." He says, "Yeah, but there's this one thing I have. Tzadik gozer v'akadosh baruch hu mekayim, so I could be gozer against you whatever I want, and therefore, if you don't split, I will make a gezeira that you won't have any water anymore, and then you won't be much of a river at all." So the river says, "Fine, you win," and the river splits. Good, so Pinchas ben Yair goes through the river. Then the Gemara says, there was another guy that was traveling with Rav Pinchas ben Yair who was bringing wheat to make matzah for Pesach. So Rav Pinchas ben Yair says, "River, split for that guy too." River says, "Okay, you win." So he splits again. Then there was a third guy in the group who wasn't going to do a mitzvah, just going on vacation. And Rav Pinchas ben Yair says, "Split for that guy too, because it will look bad that we don't give proper credit to people who are malava us. And he's being malava us, so you should split for him too." So the river split for him too. And the Gemara says, "You see, Rav Pinchas ben Yair is three times as good as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu split the sea once, Rav Pinchas ben Yair split the sea three times." Then the Gemara says, "Nah, maybe he only split it once, and he just got it to stay split for enough time for three people to walk through. Okay, good. He's as good as Moshe Rabbeinu and Shishim Riba and 600,000 Jews, but he's not better." So fine, the Rav Pinchas ben Yair continues on his journey. They get to a hotel. The balabas at the hotel, the innkeeper, starts feeding the animals, puts some grain, some sa'orim in front of the animal, and the chamor of Pinchas ben Yair refuses to eat. So they hit it. "Eat already." And again, it refuses to eat. The stubborn mule. It refuses to eat the food. So they try everything. It won't eat. So Pinchas ben Yair says, maybe it's the maestro is taken off. Maybe that's the problem. So they take maestros off it, and the chamor starts to eat. So the Gemara says, "You see, even the behema of this tzaddik, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Napi, maybe takal yada, the behema of Pinchas ben Yair, as the lashon that he has is ani azu haleches lasos ritzon kona vatem achilin osat tevelim. You're trying to feed this behema tevel. How could you feed it tevel? It's not going to eat tevel, and sure enough, it won't eat tevel because Baruch Hu won't be maybe a takala." So the Gemara then asks, "Wait a second. If you're going to feed, what's the halacha? If you get food from an ama aretz, that's not called tevel. When you get food from an innkeeper who you don't know anything about, is an ama aretz. What's that called? That's a demai. That's not tevel. There's a difference between demai and tevel. Tevel is stuff that you know is chayiv in Trumas Maestros, and you know the Trumas Maestros were not separated from it. That's tevel. Meaning, there's a window of time where something becomes tevel. It's after the chiyuv has begun, which is only when it's nigmar melachto. If you have bushel, if you have wheat growing in the ground, it's not yet tevel. It's only tevel once it's made into bushels, and it's, you do all the malacha with it, and it's all ready to go. Then it becomes tevel. That's when the chiyuv trumas maestros sets in, and it remains tevel until you take trumas maestros. That's an issur d'oraisa. Amei ha'aretz, the assumption is all amei ha'aretz are mafresh truma gedola. Most amei ha'aretz are even mafresh maestros. Right? The majority of amei ha'aretz are even mafresh maestros. So amei ha'aretz who are mafresh maestros, mida or raisa, you're allowed to trust that everything for the majority of the mafresh maestros, mida or raisa, you can rely on the rov and you can eat their produce. Mida rabbanon, the rabbanon rogozin, we should be choshish the miyuta. We should be choshish for the minority of amaratzim that aren't mafresh maestros, so you're not allowed to eat the produce of an ama aratz. That's demai. Now, this produce was demai. So, is a behema, right? Because it was from this innkeeper. So, says the Gemara, is a behema not allowed to eat demai? Or, it's not shy, it's not a behema allowed to eat, not allowed to eat. Are you not allowed to feed your behema demai? Is there really such a din that you're not allowed to feed your behema demai? So, the Gemara says, don't we have a Mishnah that halokech lezero lebehema, that it's pater mea demai? That if you buy produce from Nam Aretz, you don't have to be mafresh demai, you're allowed to give it to the behema? There's no iser. So the Gemara says that is the difference. When you take food, you pick food and you process food with the plans of eating it, and then you change your mind, or you buy food with the plans of eating it, and then you change your mind and decide to give it to a behema, so then it's still chayiv and demai. If it's demai, you still have to take maisos. When initially you bought it purely as animal food, then it's not chayiv and demai. So that's the story. This behema must have been eating food that was initially meant for human beings, and then it was changed over to, and they decided to give it for animal food. That's why it's chayiv in demai. That's the Gemara. That's the Gemara in Maseches Chulin, and that's whenever we say hashto be'masos shel tzadikim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not maybe takal yodim, it all starts with that Gemara. So the Marsha asks a very simple question on that Gemara. The Marsha in the Chidush HaLachos on Chulin says, wait a second. What's the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara asks, this is only demai, so what's the big deal? Why do you have to be mafresh for demai for the behema? Why did the behema refuse to eat it? It wasn't chayev anyway in maisos, it's only for behema. For behema, you don't have to worry about demai, right? That was the Gemara's kasha. Says the Marsha, I don't understand the kasha. Behemas generally don't have the ability to discern halachically between food that's truma, maisr, demai, tevel, anything, right? It's completely unnatural for this behemoth to refuse to eat something. It was obviously being guided by a higher power, right? It was obviously that Rosh Baruch Hu gave some sort of feeling in the behemoth, what can you, what can't you. What's demai? Demai is, what's the concept of demai? That when we buy something from an Amaretz, it's a suffix where the maisos were taken from it. We don't know, and because we don't know, we have to be extra machmir. But the whole yesod of demai is, we don't know, right? It's a suffix. We don't know what it is. We don't know if it's tevel or if it's totally mutter chulin food to eat. We have no idea. That's the concept of demai. This behema obviously does know, right? So maybe the behema knew it was tevel, exactly. Maybe the behema knew it was tevel, and that's why it didn't eat. How could the Gemara ask, the behema should have eaten anyway, it's just demai. No, maybe the same way the behema knew that it was demai, the behema knows that it's tevel. And that's why the behema didn't want to eat. Because klape the emes, the behema got that insight that it was tevel. That's Marsha's kasha. So the Marsha's teretz, we'll see, maybe there's another approach, that's why I'm mentioning this kasha, but the Marsha's teretz is, Marsha says, what do you mean? A behema has an issur to eat demai, a behema has a head to eat demai. What are we talking about over here? You know, when I was in Kerem, the Mori Verabi of Silver was trying to explain to us the difference between a brisker chakira and a telzer chakira. I still don't really fully chap, but he says briskers always deal with what? You know, mechanics of the halacha. What's the mechayiv? Is it this? Is it that? Just dissecting the halacha. Telzers very often will ask why. You know, why is it? What's the philosophical underpinning as opposed to the mechanics of how it works? It's an interesting notion that the two schools of thought think differently. But he was making a push for us to think like briskers and not like telzers. And he was telling us that, I'll tell you a telzer chakira. That the telzer chakira goes like this. In Baba Kama, the Gemara discusses when an animal gores somebody, so the bailum of that animal has to pay for the damages that its animal does, right? One of the avos nezikin is shor. Shor goes and gores somebody, so you have to pay the damage that the animal does. So the telzer chakira is, why do I have to pay? Do I have to pay because it's my chiv shmira and my animal, and for my failure in shmira and my animal, I'm paying for what I did? Or is it not? My behema's a mazik, so my behema's really chayiv to pay. The shor has a chiv to pay. Elamai, the shor doesn't carry a wallet, so it doesn't have the ability to pay, so I have to pay on behalf of my shor. So Rav Silva gave that as the example of a Telzer Chakira. He said, why do I call that a Telzer Chakira? Because it's ridiculous. What do you mean? A shor has an obligation to pay? The whole thing doesn't make sense. How could a shor have an obligation in anything? There's no time to that. It doesn't make sense that a shor would ever have an obligation. Right? It's just not shaykh that an animal would have any sort of chiyuv. So this idea that a behemah is not allowed to eat demai, a behemah has an isra of eating demai, a behemah has an isra of eating tevel, vaday not. What's the isra? The isra is on the bailin. I can't feed my behemah demai. I can't feed my behemah tevel. So din on a behemah? The behemah doesn't need to be a pikeach to know whether it's demai, whether it's tevel. So says the Marsha, what's going on over here? Hashta behemason shel tzadikim in a kosher baruch hu maybe takal al yadav. What happened with this chamor? What are we celebrating? That the behemah didn't do the isur of demai? The behemah doesn't have any isur anyway. So what's the celebration? That it's not that the behemah didn't do a takala. It's that Kodesh Baruch Hu is not maybe takala al yadav. That even through the actions of a behemah, Hashem will not allow the tzaddik who owns the behemah to violate an isur. Through things that are not in his control, the actions of his behemah, Hashem will not allow the actions of the tzaddik's behemah to cause the tzaddik to violate the isur. So says the Marsha, this behemah, whatever it knows, is irrelevant. Yeah, it has this ruach hakodesh to know that this is tmayim, maybe it has a ruach hakodesh to know that it's tevel vada. But that's irrelevant to the whole isur, because it's not the behemah's isur anyway. Whose das do we care about? Whose knowledge of the situation do we care about? The bailim. The Bailam is the only one that matters over here. Because it's his Isser. Does the Bailam know if it's Tevel or if it's just Demai? Or if it's Masuka? I mean, he has no idea. So Klapi the Bailam, it's Demai. Right? Klapi the Bailam, that's all it is. It's Demai. And therefore, the Gemara is a good Kasha. The Gemara's Kasha is, what's the big deal? It wouldn't have been a Takala anyway. You're allowed to feed your Behemah Demai. That's what the Gemara has to answer. It depends whether you picked it originally, whether you bought it originally for Meichel Behem or Meichel Adam. But the Kasha of the Gemara does make sense. So again, the Marsha's Kasha was, how does the Kasha of the Gemara even make sense? Maybe the whole reason the animal didn't want to eat it is because Klape the MS, it's really Tevel. So says the Marsha, Klape the MS doesn't matter to us. Because if the Bailim doesn't know about it, the whole Isser is a din in the Bailim. So if the Bailam doesn't know about it, then it's a din in demai for the Bailam. It doesn't matter what the animal knows, klapei the emes, or doesn't know. But maybe there's another approach to answer the Marsha's Kasha. This other approach requires a little bit of background and connects very strongly to the Tosfos we saw yesterday. So we'll try to bring it back full circle. The other approach involves something I think we've said over many times in the past. Probably the most famous nesivus in all of nesivus HaMishpat on Shulchan Aruch is this nesivus. There is a concept called that you've definitely used in your learning careers called an Isser Gavra and an Isser Chefza. You always try to figure out what's the nature of the Isser. That's a very brisker chakira. Something an Isser Gavra is an Isser Chefza. Is this on the person, is this on the object? Where in Shas do we have Isser Gavra and Isser Chefza? You would think it's got to be all over the place, because in every brisker shir you ever heard, it is always Isser Gavra and Isser Chefza. It comes up in exactly one place in Shas, one topic in Shas. That's actually, that the Gemara actually defines something as an Isser Gavra and Isser Chefza. Oh, that's the Nesivus already. Where does the Gemara talk about it? So the Gemara talks about Chavas Beged, Chavas Mana, but that's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So what about Isser Gavri Isser Chefz? So the and the truth is it's also a mitzvah probably, but the in Nedarim, what's the difference between a Neder and a Nedava? So Neder is, you say, Hare Alai. You take this animal, you take the sheep, and you say, Hare Alai, I want to bring a korban, and I'm designating this sheep to bring the korban. And then you lose the sheep. Do you need to replace it? Do you need to buy another one? So if you said Hare Alai, you took a neder, you do need to replace it. Why? Because the chiyuv is negavra. It's not a chiyuv in the chefta, it's a chiyuv in the gavra, right? When you say Hare Zu, and I'm not saying a rail, I'm saying this sheep should be a carbon. This sheep should belong to Hagdish. So then it's a din in the Cheftza. It's a din in the Behema. It's not a din in the Gabra. And therefore, if I lose that sheep, I don't have to buy another one. I didn't make a sheep. I made that sheep Hegdish. Not any other sheep Hegdish. And therefore, I have no responsibility for it. That's a, you're right. Sitz is probably another good example. Chavas Manu, Chavas Gabra. That's also a good example. I don't know. Yeah, so, but they're very rare, few and far between, where the Gemara talks about Gavra and Chefza. So the hot topic amongst the Achronim is, what about Kol Isurei Torah? Are Isurim in general, are they Isurei Gavra, or are they Isurei Chefza? Now let's define the terminology. What does that mean, Isurei Gavra, Isurei Chefza? So the way Rav Shach likes to explain this in the Sivas, that we're going to see in a moment, is that An Isur Chefza would mean that if you were able to take this piece of meat, let's say, that I'm not allowed to eat, let's say a piece of chazer, and take it to the spiritual laboratory, and you were able to spiritually dissect it, you would find characteristics of Isur. There is something inherent in it, in its bria, that is Isur. Isur Gavra would mean you could put this next to a kosher piece of meat in the laboratory, and you will find nothing in the spiritual laboratory, and you will find nothing, no spiritual characteristics of Isser in this meat. Elamai, Hashem said, I'm not allowed to eat it. But there's nothing about it that makes it Asr. It's about something about me that means I can. Mashal Ma'adav Adoma, it's not poison, it's peanuts, and I have a peanut allergy. I mean, thank God I don't. But, you know, it's not, right? There's a difference. Poison, there's something about it. If I have a peanut allergy, it's something about me that I can't handle this kind of food. Well, you could argue allergies is a combination, but okay, you know, but you get the mashal. So the Nesivis has the following comment, but in order to understand the comment of the Nesivis, you first need to see what the Shulchan Aruch has to say. You look at source number 5, Shulchan Aruch and Choshen Mishpat, in Hilchos Ona'a Umekach Ta'os. I was just looking over the halachas of Ona'ah yesterday because one of my hurricane shaylas is price gouging. People selling generators for five times what they actually cost. So, Hilchos Ona'ah, Siman Reish Lamed Daled, Sif Aleph, Hashocher es habechor u'machro v'noda shelo her'eil l'muncha. You have a guy, shechts habechor. Halacha is that before you can shecht the bechor and eat a bechor, behemah Torah, a kosher firstborn animal, it needs to develop a mum. Otherwise, you're not allowed to shecht it and eat it. And how do you determine if it develops a mum? You need to bring it to a mumcha, you need to bring it to an expert who knows how to look for these things. He's got to look at it, he's got to tell you that it developed a mum. Otherwise, it's awesome. What do we do nowadays? Maisa, there's not a mitzvah tzli bar, it's even the chutz la'aretz. If you have Jewish farmers in the Midwest, they have kosher animals born into their flock on their farms, they have serious bechor issues. So what they do is they do a mechila. The Gemara talks about it already. They sell it to a guy. When the animal's pregnant, when the mother is pregnant, they sell the mother to the guy. So the baby's born into the guy's ownership, and then it's a chayv bechor. Then you buy it back. That's what Shechta said years ago. So he got a call from a rabbi in the Midwest, had a farmer in his shul, and he wanted to know, what do I do? I have this farmer, he's got a bechor, how do I do mechira? So Shechta said, it's really very simple. It's the same exact thing as mechira's chametz. You do the same, it's the same process, you do mechira. He said, the rabbi then asked him, how do you do mechira's chametz? That was a little weird, because he'd been a rabbi for 25 years, but you know, but it's the same basic process, right? So this guy, what happens? A man shechts a bechor, sells it. I innocently buy meat in the store. I don't know that it's bechor, and I enjoy a delicious steak dinner. Next morning, noda shelo harei l'mumcha. I find out that the guy never showed it to an expert, and that this was bechor, and I had eaten already last night. I want my money back. I bought two pieces of steak, ate one last night, I have one left over, I was saving for tonight's dinner. I want my money back. This is in Chosh Mishpat. This is not in Yerodea, right? This is about money. So what does he have to pay me back? If I didn't eat the bechor that he gave me last night, I would have eaten a different piece of steak, right? But I'm full now because I ate it. I did it and I enjoyed it. It was delicious. It was fantastic. So does he have to pay me back for that? I already ate it. Why would he have to pay me back? I mean, I enjoyed it. I got my benefit out of it. Or did he say, no, you didn't get benefit out of it. You ate poison. You ate spiritual poison last night. He poisoned you. Adrabba, he should have to pay you more for, you know, if he has to pay you for what you didn't eat yet, and in return that, Kalvachomer, he has to pay you for what you already ate. Because he poisoned you. So what would you say? So Shulchan Aruch says, Masha achal achal v'yachsalos hadamim, he does have to pay me back for last night's dinner, for the meat that I ate. V'anishar me'abasu b'yad alakuchas, you cover v'yachsalos hadamim. And whatever meat I have left over, I should bury, because can't do anything with it, can't give it back to him. And he should pay me for that also. He should reimburse me for everything. Sounds reasonable, right? He poisoned me, so he should reimburse me for everything. He was a total mekachtos. Told me that it was kosher meat. It wasn't kosher meat. Similarly, v'chein sif beis, v'chein ha'shochet paro machra, v'nod d'shiv treifa. I buy meat in my nice local butcher in Muncie or whatever, and next day I find out that the meat that the butcher was selling was treifa meat. I already ate some of it. So what would you say? Same halacha, right? What difference? Treifa, bechar, it's all the same. So Shulchan Aruch, yeah, paskin, same halacha. That he's got to pay me back for everything. Now here's where it gets interesting. Si'if Gimel, source number 6. Aval amocher l'chaveru davar she'isra achil asami divrei sofrim. Let's say I buy in the store a piece of chicken, and it turns out the chicken was cooked in milk, which is nisr midrabanan. It was the most delicious milky chicken soup I've ever tasted in my entire life. I enjoyed it very much last night. Does he have to pay me back for that? He poisoned me, no? He should have to pay me back, right? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Im hayu peros kayamim, machzer peros menot adama. Whatever I still have left of it, I can return and get my money back. I can't eat it, so I found out that it's asami d'rabbanan. So I can return and get my money back. V'im achlam, achal, ve'ein hamochem machzulo klum. But if I already ate, and he does not have to reimburse me for that which I already ate. Frak de nesivus. What's the difference between the Yisra d'oraisa and the Yisra d'rabbana? Why by the Yisra d'oraisa does he have to pay me back, and by the Yisra d'rabbana he doesn't have to pay me back? Not only that, to make the kashi even stronger, says the Nesivus, the Shach in Yordes and Kuf Yutes writes, let's say, and it's not just let's say, kosher meat costs more than non-kosher meat. Right? So let's say the person is selling kosher meat, goes for $10 a pound, non-kosher meat, that's Drabana, not kosher, goes for $7 a pound, let's say. I bought this meat for $10 a pound. I ate it, and now I found out that it's drabana, not kosher meat. Says the Shach, he doesn't even have to reimburse me the $3 difference between the kosher and non-kosher meat. If it was only drabana and I ate it already, he does not need to reimburse me for that at all. Not even the difference between kosher and non-kosher. Which makes it sound like, whatever I ate bishogeg, that's an isur drabanan, it's the same thing as eating kosher. It was totally kosher. But I know it's not kosher. Yeah, but since it was bishogeg, it's totally kosher. Why? Why would that be the case? So says the Nesivus, and he does not use the term gavran chefza, but everyone understands the Nesivus as referring to gavran chefza. Says the Nesivus in source number 7. The Efsha, in the end of the second line, the Efsha, the after be Isurei Torah, afilu ochlem b'shogeg, tzarech kapara, u'tshuva, lahagin ala Yisurin, mikol makom b'isud rabbanan, ein tzarech shum kapara, u'ki'ilu lo avar dami. Unbelievable. If I violate an isud araisa b'shogeg, so I eat poison. You eat poison b'shogeg, you know what happens? You die, right? It doesn't matter whether you do it on purpose or you do it by accident. You eat poison b'shogeg, you ate poison. If I violated this with the rights of b'shogeg, I could be punished for it. That's why there's a whole din in the Torah of bringing a carbon for it. Ramban describes when you bring carbon chatos, you're supposed to envision yourself as being deserving of being slaughtered on the Mizbeach. For what? It was an accident! It doesn't matter. I spiritually poisoned myself when you do this with the rights of b'shogeg. When you do an Isra D'Rabbanan B'Shogeg, Ein Tzarech Shum Kapara, I don't need any sort of kapara. Ukiilu lo avar dami. It's as if I didn't even violate anything. Why? Why isn't the Nisus Rabbanan spiritually poisonous? Yeah, it wasn't my fault. It was shogeg. Why isn't that considered spiritually poisonous? The way everyone explains this nesiv is what you were referring to before. That an isur da'araisa is by definition an isur cheftza. Isur cheftza means that if we were to take this piece of trefa, nevela, whatever, bring it to the spiritual lab and dissect it, we would find that it has characteristics of isur in it. And therefore, it's spiritual poison. I eat it, I need a kapara.
So shouldn't everyone not be able to?
One second, we'll get to that. An issur d'rabbanan, that goes back to our peanut allergy mashal. An issur d'rabbanan, some sort of combination. An issur d'rabbanan would be only an issur gavra, not an issur chefta, which would mean there's nothing wrong with the food, but the rabbanan tell me I'm not allowed to have it. The Rabbanan imposed a restriction on me, a special diet on me, that I'm not allowed to have it. The way Rav Shachta likes to explain it is, Isur Cheftza means that there's something inherent in the Bria of this item, that it's Asur, that it has characteristics of Isur. That's what Isur Cheftza means. Only a Kodesh Baruch Hu could make something inherent in the Bria. And Isur Gavra means, We're not reinventing the meat. It is what it is. But I'm your boss, and I get to tell you what you can do and what you can't do. The Rabbanan are my boss, and there's a mitzvah lo sasur in the Torah. I have to listen to whatever they tell me. And they tell me I can't have it, so I can't have it. That's the Isur Gavra. So, says the Nesivis, if I eat an Isur Daraisa B'shogeg, I eat poison. If I eat an Isur Darabanan B'shogeg, what's the whole Isur Darabanan? It's an Isur Gavra to do what? To rebel against the rabbis. To do against what the rabbi said. But I was b'shogeg, I wasn't rebelling. It wasn't an act of rebellion at all. I didn't even know that I was doing anything wrong. So I didn't eat poison, I didn't rebel against the rabbis. Mela, lo, avar, klo. I didn't violate anything. If I didn't violate anything, I bought what I thought was kosher meat from this butcher shop. It turned out to be an issur d'rabbanan. I ate it b'shogeg. Retrospectively now, I ate kosher meat. It's a milky chicken soup. It's kosher meat. It's kosher chicken soup for me. Because b'shogeg, there's no issur. There's no din in the gavra. There's no din in the cheftza.
Who says that violating issur d'rabbanan is a din in rebelling?
That's how they read into the nesivos. Meaning that what is the issur on the? Because the nesivos says what the nesivos actually says is when I do an issur d'rabbanan b'shogeg, I didn't do anything wrong. So you have to somehow touch that up. Even if it's an Isur Gavra, didn't I do something wrong? So he said, no, because what is the Isur Gavra? The Isur is, lo sasur, don't veer, don't actively go against what the rabbi said. But if I'm not trying to go against the rabbis, I'm not trying to, I had no idea that I was going against the rabbis, then it wouldn't be. You know, that would be the way you'd have to define it. You're right in that, you know, that's a chiddush in its own right.
Yeah, I'm asking a question on the Nesivos.
Right, where does he get the idea from? That's the issur. As opposed to what? That lo sasur is just...
Like the same way you're violating an issur d'oraisa is not necessarily you're rebelling against...
It's not a rebellion against Hashem, it's just
right.
Poisonous.
Yeah, even if you did it by accident, it would still be a
right.
Poisonous thing.
Inochinan, that's a good kasha. Right? There's no... I don't know what the hechrich of the nesivos is that you have. I mean, the hechrich is the psak of Shulchan Aruch. He's trying to explain this dine mamanas din, why the guy doesn't have to pay you back. But, yeah, but it's a chiddush. Meaning there's nothing apparent to me about the nature of Yisurim D'Rabbanan that gives it away, other than just the fact that the way the halacha plays out in Shulchan Aruch, in terms of reimbursing you, this would fit. So that's what he seems to go with. Now, not everyone agrees with the Nesivos. A lot of people will not draw the line that every issur d'oraisa versus every issur d'rabbanan. John said before, if every issur d'oraisa were an issur cheftza, then it should be equally asur to everybody. Why is it that a kohen is allowed to eat truma and I have an issur to eat truma? Right? If it's a din in the cheftza, then something's poisonous about it. So I thought maybe that you could say is the peanut allergy.
Different people are allergic to different
right,
things.
Right, exactly, like the peanut allergy. Right, someone's allergic to it, someone else not allergic to the Kohen is on a spiritual level where that kind of spiritual food is actually good for him, it's actually a mitzvah for him, but for me it's bad. But it is din in the food, in the type of food that it is, and how it reacts to my system. But that's almost like a hybrid of Gavra Cheftza.
It's just Gavra. Because it's totally based on you. It's like everyone is, no one could eat rat poison. It's just not possible. But, you know what I'm saying?
So
depending on your
it
blood.
There might be
you
one
can,
guy who can consume it and be fine. You know what I'm saying?
I don't think it's possible.
No, I mean, regardless, but peanuts are a good example. For some people it's poison, for other people it's not. Why? Because there's something about peanuts. If you were to take it to a lab, you'd be able to find something about it that, for some people, meaning it's a hybrid of Gavra and Cheftza. That there's, it's not that there's nothing wrong with it, and it's just, you know, I try to stay away from it. Like, something I don't like, maybe I won't eat, because I just don't like it, so I stay away from that. But there's nothing wrong with it. There's nothing inherent about it that there's no reason I shouldn't be able to have Brussels sprouts. There's nothing about Brussels sprouts that's bad for me. It's just I don't like them, so I don't eat them. That would be more the Gavra, that, you know, in the mashal. Now the question is, so Tosfos over here, our Tosfos, we went through yesterday five different Gemaras, where there were five Gemaras that seemed to tell us that a behema of a tzaddik, not a behema of a tzaddik, that a tzaddik himself had a takala baal yada. We had the Gemara Pesach and Ben before Abdallah. We had Rabba being Matala or Haner. We had someone killing an Eid Zomein. It's right, really bad things. So Tosus had a Mahalich, and Tosus said, the whole concept of Hashem Behemdim Shal Tzadikim, in of course, Rabbi Mevita Kal Yadam, Tzadikim Hashem Lekol Shkeim, is only by Achila. It's only by Yisum related to Achila. Not by Yisum related to non-Achila. Frank tells us, oh yeah? What about eating before Abdallah? That's Achila. The Kodesh Baruch Hu let a tzaddik violate. What about the Gemara Rosh Hashanah Daf Chaval? About eating on Yom Kippur? That's Achila. And yet we still see that the tzaddik was Nichshal. So that is Tosfos' answer. No, that's not an Isser Achila. That's an Isser in the Zman. Meaning there's nothing wrong with the food that you ate before Abdallah, or the food you ate in Yom Kippur. It's just that, given you being there on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to eat food. But it's not a din in the food. Which makes it sound, if you have to translate Tosfos into today's terminology of what we're talking about today, that where do we say Hashabam Dim Shal Tzadikim? That's when you have Yisr Cheftza. There's something with the food itself. There's something inherently wrong with the food. But when the din is an Isser Gavra, right, when it's only an Isser Gavra, like Yom Kippur, something wrong with the food. It's Yom Kippur, so I'm not allowed to eat it. I haven't made Abdul yet, so I'm not allowed to eat it. There's nothing wrong with the food. We wouldn't apply the whole concept to Hashem Behemos Shal Tzadik. That's what it turned out. Can that be in agreement with the Nesivus at all? So let's think. Two applications. Eating before Abdallah and eating on Yom Kippur. D'oraisa or d'rabbanan? Eating on Yom Kippur? D'oraisa. Eating before Abdallah? D'rabbanan. And yet Tosfos seems to be suggesting both of those things are Isser Gavra. All the other examples where we do mention Hashtav Emas and Shal Tzadikin have to be Yisrei Cheftza, according to Tosfos. What's the source of Hashtav Emas and Shal Tzadikin?
It's Demai.
Demai. Demai is Drabana. This Tosfos screams at the Nesivus. No? Clearly not drawing the line between Yisum Drabana and Yisum Daraisa. It screams at the Nesivus. If you take a look for a moment at source number four, Kovitz Yurin of Ochana, over here in Gittin, Tell us the zebra maskal hashta be'masim b'sof ha'dibur. Ein davar meguna kol kach achila shel heter b'shasa isr. So it tells us we don't say hashta be'masim by something that is mutter food that you're eating at a shasa isr. Kavanas divreim nira diyomaki purim u'isr gavra. Avol truma o'ev menachai v'yisr chavtza. Right? He says that's got to be what Tosfos is saying. Him came yesh lo chiyach midivreim. So he says, we could prove from here, Mashin is tapku achronim, im yisurin d'rabbanan heim yisur chavto yisur gavra. The big cash all the achronim asked, are yisurin d'rabbanan yisur gavra yisur chavto? Lefdaha lefim asha biyarnu, divrayam, lo parchinun hashtay beimasin el biyisur chavto. We only say hashtay beimasin by yisur chavto. And chulun davav, it's in regards to demai. And demai is a d'rabbanan. So if you're going to say all Yisurim D'Rabbanu v'yineimu to call Yisurim D'Rabbanu el Yisur Gavra in Ken Lo Paruch Hashas Midi, the whole Gemara Chulin doesn't work if you say every Yisur D'Rabbanu is only Yisur Gavra. Because the very source of Hashta Be'imasan is by Yisur D'Rabbanu. Exactly the point we just made. And Ela Al Karch L'Kam Yisurim D'Rabbanu Yisur Chavtzah. So you have to say Yisurim D'Rabbanu or Yisur Chavtzah. Now this topic about demai, is demai nisur gavra, is demai nisur chavtza?
Well, it's not. I mean, it's not really derabanan. It's zero that lest you be over the oraisa.
Oh, good. What's demai? You have to be choshish for the meal that it's not mu'usar, and therefore it's tevel. Tevel is definitely an isur oraisa, nisur chavtza. Therefore, l'chora, right? What did the Rabbanan do over here exactly? Meaning there are two ways to look at demai. Not so partial what Mordechai is saying. There are two ways to look at it. One way to look at it is, the Rabbanan said that on a Darais level, this isn't Tevel. We are being gozer that it's still Tevel. Which would mean we're being gozer that it's in Nisr Chavtza. Right? That it's still Tevel. It's still the Rabbanan because me Darais, you can rely on the road. Or you could say no. The Rabbanan say, we know it's not Tevel. We're making a mitzvah of being mafresh maestros. And we tell you, you're not allowed to eat it until you're mafresh maestros. It's not Tevel. There's nothing about the chefza that's Tevel. It's already been determined that it's not Tevel because Rav Amir is maestrinate. But for you, there's nisagavra that you're not allowed to be mafresh. That you have to be mafresh. Not allowed to eat until you're mafresh. So demai itself is not so posh what kind of isser it is. Whether it's a din of the gavra or a din of the chefza. Right? It's not so obvious what how to look at the mind. If you were to look at Rav Yosef Engel, which we're not going to really have time to do, but at least let's frame the question a little bit. In the Asfanda Oraisa, the Asfanda Oraisa Klal Vav, Nistapakti, he says, I have a suffix. Masha Asru Chachamenu Zal Demai. That which Chazal asur demai. This is on page 8. That which Chazal asur demai. Ima isur hu rak im ha'ama oretz lo iser be'emes. He phrased it a little differently. Let's say you eat demai without taking off maestros. And then you find out that the Amorites did take off maestros. Did you do an aver? So this will be telling you how you understand the isur of demai. Is the Yisur Demai a chashash of the Yisur Daraisa?
So or it's a brand new Yisur? The Mesivus says, anyway, so that would fit very nicely with the Mesivus.
If what? If you say...
If you say that, because it would be being moored against the Rabbanan.
That so it's only saying, being moored against...
Because even if it was, even if he did take a Meisur, it would still be a Merida.
Oh, you still violated, you still exactly. Went against the Rabbanan. So, if it's an Yisur Gavra, yeah. Demai is an Yisur Gavra, so then you didn't have it. You rebelled against the Rabbanan. Yeah. So the question is, what did the Rabbanan do? Did the Rabbanan say, you can't do this, we don't want you to do it? Or did the Rabbanan say, you have to be choshish that maybe this is Tevel? And at the end of the day, if it wasn't Tevel, you did nothing wrong. So did you, meaning if it was Nisr Chavtza, you did nothing wrong, because it's not. So there are multiple ways to look at it. Or you can say the Rabbanan, no, on a Daraisa level, it's not an Isur Chavtza, but the Rabbanan instituted it as an Isur Chavtza. And therefore, even if it's Mu'usar, it's Asa. So this is the Rav Yosef Engel. I guess we'll do this tomorrow. It's going to be a beautiful piece. Like all of this, everything he writes is beautiful. But we'll do that tomorrow, and then we'll take a look at the Ramban. Ramban disagrees with those of us.